What's up, college baseball fans? Welcome to another episode of the 11.7 podcast. We are here on a Wednesday today. Series are starting Thursday, Friday, Saturday because of Easter on Sunday. So we're here a day early, wanting to release the pod so you guys have a chance to go over the weekend series pick 'em and some of the top stories around the country. And before we dive into anything, today's going to be a good show. We're going to talk about midweek recaps. We're going to do some conference standing slash how many bids we think each conference is going to get. Like right now, it looks like the SEC might get 11 or 12, which is nuts. It'll figure itself out, but we'll dive into it. And then at the end, we'll do our weekend series pick 'em. And the six series are as followed. Let me pull them up real fast because I always get them mixed up. The six most competitive series and most entertaining: UTSA at Tulane, Troy at Southern Miss, Louisiana Lafayette at Texas State, Irvine at Hawaii, Virginia at Duke, and LSU at Arkansas. So those will be the six weekend series pick'ems. We'll give you our picks at the end of the episode here. But before we do all of that, we're going to talk about our partners over at Home Field Apparel. And every episode we do a team of the week, as you guys know. And we just picked a fun one. I picked one. I was looking through all the merch at homefieldapparel.com, and the Delaware Blue Hens, they get a huge weekend series win at Campbell last week and decided to look through their stuff. And this might be the best team. Like, as far as apparel and merchandise that they have at home field, like, this is something you could rock at a party. You could rock it at a, you know, summer
that
tailgate.
Hoodie.
It doesn't matter. Like, yeah.
That
like
hoodie these, with the D on the left.
Sweaters, everything here. And it gets better as you scroll down. Like, this one right here.
That logo is awesome.
So, if you guys are subscribed to the YouTube or watching on YouTube, we're sharing our screen here. But if you're on the podcast, just take a look. Homefieldapparel.com. Use our promo code CWS24, 15% off your first purchase. And got an email from the Home Field guys yesterday. And they're about to crank it up on college baseball stuff. And they showed us a preview before the season of what they have lined up for college baseball gear. And it's something we've never seen before. Like, it is, well, I'll give a little teaser. If you're old enough, you've seen a lot of it, but they're bringing it back. And it's going to be elite. We can't talk about it right now. I think April is when it's going to be released. But many teams, many really cool stuff. So anyways, let's dive into it. Midweek recap. We got another Florida State, Florida battle in the midweek. And sure enough, it's the same script we've seen so far. Florida State looks awesome in the midweeks. Florida Gators drop another one. It's to the point now, guys, where you hope Florida loses every midweek the rest of the year just to put the committee like on notice. Like, how much do we value midweeks? Because like, this could be groundbreaking stuff. If Florida still gets a national seed, but they lose, you know, over half of their midweeks or all of their midweeks.
I think they're 3-5 in midweek.
Yeah, right. Well, when I say all of them, I mean like all the important ones. Like, of course they're going to beat North Florida. Of course they're going to beat, you know, Florida A&M, stuff like that. But I'm saying, like, if Florida still gets a national seed with, let's say, 6 or 7 midweek losses, I think that's going to set a precedent for every other team to be like, okay, we just don't care about midweeks anymore. Like, we'll lose those games and we'll just focus on the weekend. So like, that could set up years in advance teams being like, it doesn't matter who we play or who we pitch or what lineup we have. But if the committee says, like, no, Florida looked really bad in midweeks, they lost over half of them, like, we're going to drop them down to like a 14, 15, 16 seed, or possibly even like a 2 overall seed, or like a 2 seed in a regional, then teams might take it seriously moving forward. So a lot to think about.
I think we could have fun with this and overanalyze the midweeks and weekends, you know, records or whatever. But at the end of the day, it's your overall resume. If Florida's got 13 quad one wins all in the SEC on the weekend, it doesn't really matter what they did in the midweek, because if they're 38 and 18 with 15 quad one wins all in SEC play and they finish top 3 in the SEC, they're a national seed no matter what they do in the midweek. Midweeks are big for your non – I mean, Pac-12 needs midweek. Big Ten needs midweek. SEC, ACC don't really need midweeks that much. Sun Belt might not even need midweeks that much. So it's for the mid-major. It's for your smaller conference, smaller team. They need the midweek win over teams like Florida. So it's always been that way. I don't think it's a big deal. I think it just shows Florida doesn't have that much depth outside of their Friday, Saturday, Sunday guy.
So I'm in the train of thought where, like, watching the midweeks yesterday, it was all very chalk. I know Mississippi State took Samford to extra innings, and there was a couple tight ball games. So I will overanalyze for just a minute this Florida loss again, because I looked it up. 4-6 in quad one wins this year. Now, there's a whole SEC slate in front of them. They just took care of the reigning national champ. So, obviously, they can go put on, like, a huge run in SEC play and go, all right, they're obviously a national seed. I don't think they are today. Like, they're – but they're not losing to good teams in the midweeks. Like, they've lost to Stetson. They've lost to Jacksonville. UCF is a good ball club in the Big 12. But, like, they're losing games in, like – a way that is kind of telling, kind of how we're a little bit worried about what Wake Forest is going to do in those middle relief innings and where do they find those chunk outs. I think the committee has a right to go, I don't know. This is one of the best teams in the country, no doubt. They have the greatest potential college baseball player of all time. But I can't ignore these losses anymore. They gave up a 5 spot in the 8th inning last night, and it was like a guy that they're looking to get some key contributing outs in back ends of SEC play. Like, I'm done ignoring it. I fell into the trap. I think Vegas had that game at like a -114 pick'em yesterday. And there's a reason, because they don't know either what the hell's going on with this team.
Right. No, it's the biggest thing for me right now, Florida, unanimously, it doesn't matter who you ask, but Friday, Saturday, Sunday, they're a top 10 team. It doesn't matter. Like, the resume is Tuesdays. They just do not care. I mean, you look at the record. They're 14-10, and it's March 27th. If they have a bad weekend, lose two out of three this weekend, you're looking at a 15-12 record. Like, that's not good, like, going into April, like, at all, if you're the Florida Gators. But the good thing is the SEC always figures out to find a way to, like, it shakes out the way that it should, right? Like, the top teams are going to be at the top of the standings. The bottom teams are going to be at the bottom. And if Florida's at the top, you know, three or four teams in the SEC at the end of the year, like, they deserve to be a national seed. But if they can't win the midweeks, they're very vulnerable to losing their own regional. You slip up and lose game one or game two, and you have to rely on that number four or five starter to win a game. It hasn't been proven yet.
Yeah.
That's all I wanted to say about that game. Florida State, like, bounces back in a big way after getting swept. It was funny, when Florida State had a big lead in, like, the seventh inning, I was like, if the Florida Gators come back and win this, like, Florida State should just not have a bullpen the rest of the year. Like, open tryouts on campus. Like, we cannot blow another 8-run lead. But they held it through. So, they're a good team.
I think they're a good team. I don't think that weekend at Clemson was a – stamp of approval that they're not good. I think they're a very good team. They just had a horrible weekend at the worst time, when everyone was skeptical about D1 ranking. Is this team good? Stuff like that. They're a fucking good baseball team. And yeah, they can.
If Florida State would have been at home that weekend, they probably would have won 2-3. I think that's safe to say. Like, the Clemson environment, the Clemson crowd hitting at home definitely played a part. And I think Clemson winning that series.
And I thought this too, briefly on Florida State. They're undefeated. It took a historic fucking way to find their first loss of the year. Like, Blake Wright had to be, like, one of the greatest college baseball players in a 6-day span in order for Florida State to still suffer their loss.
Marshall, like, McDougal, come on now.
Fair. Hand up. But, like, what he did, 21 RBIs in 6 days, like, it is historic way for Florida State to find their first loss. I'm with you, Dimitri. I think they're the real deal.
Yeah. Bouncing around the midweeks, other than that,
Campbell
tied it up early in the game against Duke, and I was like, it was like 1-1, and I'm thinking, okay, this is going to be a great game. Campbell, once again, they lose their third game in a week, really, since like last Friday, and that's just uncharacteristic. They lose 2 out of 3 at home to Delaware. They followed up with just a blowout run rule loss against Duke. But that's okay. If you're Campbell, you still have time to find the identity. You got to win your first CAA series coming up this week. And like we always say, it's okay to get cold during the middle part of the season, because Campbell was hot, red hot at the beginning of the year. They're cold, hot, cold, hot theory. They get hot in the postseason. We've seen them be able to beat pretty much anybody in the nation on the midweeks and on the weekends. So I'm not worried about Campbell at all. Liberty gave Wake Forest a scare, but Wake Forest pulled it out 7-6. I'll tell you another team I was impressed with bouncing back is East Carolina over UNCW. Jack, you called it. You said Rodney Hood was going to – is that his name Rodney Hood or is that a basketball player?
Rodney Hood, it's March Madness. You were thinking Rodney Hood, yeah. The Southpaw Duke Blue Devil. Sir Randy Hood is the coach.
Randy Hood.
Yeah.
You said like he was going to have the UNCW team ready. Like that's a big game for him. In the east part of North Carolina. And East Carolina handled business. 7-4, that's a good midweek win. I think when we look back on it at the end of the year, looking at teams' resumes, this East Carolina win over UNCW, I think it's going to play a factor in potentially pushing them to a host rather than a two seed.
And getting on the right track in that game. Jack Kroom, who plays third baseman for UNCW, got off UNCW to a really hot start. They were up 4-0 to start this baseball game, right? So yeah. ECU's not only like – and I know that there's like those small moments in a season we've all been a part of it where like your locker room can go one of two ways. Everyone knows ECU's wildly talented. But you lose a conference series you're not supposed to lose. Now you're getting beat up by like a rival that you call little brother. Like they've got you on the ropes a little bit. So their response with a three spot in the seventh last night, they've got some dogs. They're going to be just fine. But it was a really nice win to see them get back on track.
Yep. 100%. Hey, Ben, are you concerned about Santa Barbara? Or do you think it's just a byproduct of them having all the external factors?
Well, last night's game was crazy. And for the listeners that didn't stay up late enough, I happened to wake up in time to catch the end of that game. I fell asleep early last night. It was a long day. Fell asleep early, woke up like around 1 a.m., midnight, somewhere in there. And Santa Barbara is playing at UCLA, and it's the ninth inning. Santa Barbara scores 3 to tie it at
11. 3 to take the lead.
Oh, yeah, 3 to take the lead. You're right. And then UCLA comes in the bottom of the half of the ninth, ties it up, and they end up playing 12 innings. But I think they scored every single inning in extra innings. Like, both teams put up one run. Santa Barbara, I want to say, loaded the bases and couldn't score in the 12th. And then UCLA walked it off in the 12th. It was a wild, crazy finish. But, again, I'm not worried about Santa Barbara. I know they lost 2 out of 3. It's very similar to the Campbell story, right? Like Santa Barbara loses a weekend series, loses the midweek. It's okay to get cold right now. Santa Barbara still has plenty of opportunities to build that resume out there in the Big West, plus in the midweek. Sure, it would have been nice to win that game at UCLA, but I think that game was a game before the season that they had probably circled like, it's a toss-up. Like, it's at UCLA. We might lose this game. No big deal. It'd be great to win it, but before the season, I bet they were like, all right, we might lose this game.
I mean, it's so interesting. They should have won that series at Campbell. They didn't, but they should have won it. And then they win Sacramento State, series win over Oregon, swept UConn, swept Long Beach, and then lose to Cal Poly. It's like, what? Like, how good is this team? Because we were so high in them. But I don't know. I don't know if it's just because they're moving around so much. They can't stay at a home base. That's got to be – you've got to take that into account. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, the good thing is they are talented. Like, they have the All-Americans. This is always a conversation in college football, right? Like, what are the recruits like? You know, the teams that have the good recruits are typically good in the season or figure it out later in the year. So the schools that get the 4- and 5-star recruits, like, they're going to figure it out. Like, Santa Barbara's up there. Like, they have good recruits that are old. That's usually a success for – are usually a story for success in the postseason. And we've seen this happen so many times. So they're a team to keep an eye out on. I think they're going to heat up later in the year. I still think that they have a good shot to win the Big West. The talent's there.
Speaking of All-American, I don't want to use this moment to pitch our campaign yet again in the midweeks, but another matchup, and we can transition it into this weekend that I've got my eye on in midweek perspective. How about our boys Roland Fanning and Austin Peay heading back to Ole Miss? They give the Rebs something to work with. They play a 13-9 game that they end up losing, but they were up in that game. But our campaign, for those listening, Lyle Miller Green hit his 14th home run. He's now third in all of college baseball, and hitting over 400 The dude is obsessed with hitting 400-foot home runs against the SEC. So there's my campaign. Circle the name. The guy's an absolute monster. That's our guy. Green shoes are on go. Let's go.
I hope we get to see him in the postseason, because every year it feels like there's two or three mid-major guys that obviously like we'll know about, but the average or below average college baseball fan that's tuning in for the first time has no idea about. Maybe somebody that just follows the MLB draft and they're not a top first or second round pick. But usually these guys in the mid-majors that go into the regionals, they set their own stories. Like they build their own campaign to get drafted higher or get more attention. And like, he's the perfect example. He goes first game in a regional as a four seed, hits a 450-foot homer against like a Vanderbilt or somebody around there in that Tennessee region or at Tennessee. People's heads turn and their eyes get wide. Like, wow, what a freak. But the home run race in college baseball is getting really interesting. You know, obviously Charlie Condon, 17 homers, and it's not even April yet. I meant to do this. I meant to look up what Cavs was at like around this time and what Ivan Melendez was at around this time. I guess I came unprepared for this podcast, but that's something we'll look up. Like, let's see where Ivan Melendez and Jack Caglione were at in the last two record breakers. And let's see, let's compare that to Condon's 17 right now. Because, dude, there's a chance he could get to 20 a week from today. Like, the hits two in the weekend, one in the midweek next week. He's at 20, and it's the first week of April.
I think Melendez needed three with like 2 weeks to go. So what did he get? 31?
Yep.
So 28 with a week to go. Yeah, Condon just basically needs to get two home runs a week. No, I mean, no, I'm sorry. Never mind. We'll do this another time.
Yeah. No, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch, because you still have Grant Nipp that I think has 15 for Campbell. Lyle Milligreen has 14. There's a few others at like 13 and 14. I don't have it pulled up right now, but
Burris should be at 14, right? Like Burris should be.
Oh, yeah. Well, Burris should be at 15. He's got 14, but that one rain delay game canceled against Georgia canceled out a homer. But yeah, I mean, this is the great time of the year where I think stats finally matter as far as like league leaders. In the first few weeks, some teams play more games, some play against bad competition. When you're 2 or 3 weeks into conference play, that nationwide leaderboard of stats really starts holding some value. Same thing with the RPI. Like the RPI is a subject that I want to touch on here a little bit today. You pull up the RPI right now, and everybody makes fun of the RPI, but if you took that, you know, top 20 teams, they're probably the top 20 teams in the country right now. I'm looking at it. Clemson 1, Florida State 2, Arkansas 3, Oregon State 4. Like, probably right now, there's not an argument. I mean, of course, you can say like, oh, Arkansas is the number one team, or Oregon State's number one, or Clemson. But those top four are probably the top four unanimously as far as like resume. There's a couple outliers. Like, it has UCF at 6. It has Nebraska at 11. It has Notre Dame at 17, Florida down at 18. But for the most part, like this is the time of the year where the RPI, you can start actually projecting regional hosts or teams that could get at-larges and things like that.
Yeah. You know who's kind of like catching my eye a little bit? Just like, hey, do we have something to work with here? Georgia Southern.
Oh, they're getting hot right now.
Coming into this weekend, they run rule Southern Miss on Friday night. They end up winning the series 2 out of 3. They run rule a good Charleston team last night. They're starting to swing it a little better. They played Campbell tough. They played Mississippi State tough, who we know is not an easy win. They're a good ball club. And then, I mean, Maryland, they lost that series, but they had a really tough schedule. And I think this Georgia Southern team could be something to keep your eye on. I think they're gonna be just fine this year.
One of those teams that we predicted pretty high in the preseason mid-major top 25, and they laid an egg the first 3 or 4 weeks. We saw a glimpse of it against Mississippi State when they won the Saturday game and like was kind of in it that week, and they looked good. But for the most part, the first 4 weeks of the season, they were very shaky.
And you know what?
We lose that series to Campbell at home. And it feels like since then, something clicked. They're scoring way more runs. The pitching is holding teams to 3 or 4 runs a game. And like, that's a dangerous team in the Sun Belt who, like, just 2 years ago hosted a regional and won the Sun Belt. So it's like, they've won it before.
I mean, I had a friend of mine text me. I won't say the school or name or whatever, but he texted me. They played this season. And he was like, they're not very good. Bullpen, not good. Starters are very average. Hitting is easy to pitch to with the game plan. They're just not a very good team. And I was like, yeah, I think I agree. I see the same thing watching their game. But you know how it is with baseball. Flip a switch, your team identity can change. You start barreling up balls, guys start commanding the outer corner of the plate, whatever, a little bit better. All of a sudden, you look like a good team. So it's a game of inches. And I think we can – let's see if they can put something together. But I do like Georgia Southern. They had, on paper, a good team entering the year.
Yeah. There's another player I want to give a shout-out to. Oh, man, my dryer just went off. Hopefully everybody doesn't hear that. But it scared me a little bit. There's another player I want to give a shout-out to because I knew about him. I was not, as Shaq would say, I was unfamiliar with his game. But Ethan Bates over at Louisiana Tech, second in the country in RBIs, and he is also, I believe, fourth in.
Dryer cut out that Wi-Fi, huh?
I know, I guess so. Sorry about that, boys. I guess I'll just run it back real quick. Ethan Bates from Louisiana Tech has caught my eye. I was looking through Nationwide Leaders for Stats. It's actually through Dogpile Season on Instagram. They post every week a leaderboard for like stats. So,
yeah.
But Ethan Bates jumps off the paper. He's second in the country with 7 saves, and he's also second in the country with 39 RBIs. So, two-way guy from Louisiana Tech, great program, and I haven't seen his name floating around anywhere. And that's on us. We're the mid-major guys. We should have known about it as my dryer goes off again. Sorry about that, everybody. I actually do my own laundry, so that's probably a surprise to a lot of listeners.
Wait. Is that a flex that you do your own laundry?
I do my own laundry. Yep.
That guy.
How many 26 plus year old do their own laundry? I would hope 80-90% of them do.
That's true. We'll also have a 2 year old's laundry that fills up most of it.
Jack, do you do your laundry?
Yeah. If I was rich enough, I'd love to like be the guy to like drop it off at a dry cleaner though. That'd be sweet power move.
All right, you guys carry the show for 2 seconds. I'm going to go turn this dryer off.
All right.
Dimitri, do you also? Yeah. Go ahead, buddy.
No, I was just going to say, I think dry cleaners is a massive flex. If you're some finance bro.
Yeah, I know, right?
You could drop off your clothes at the dry cleaner. But I feel like if you don't know how to use a dryer and a washer by the age of 21, that's embarrassing.
I have been told that I fold clothes like a menace. Like I don't like I fold them kind of hilariously, but
Speaking of washers, dryers, and folding clothes, shout out to all the student managers out there. Fact. Y'all are the real MVP. Staying up late, doing everybody's laundry. It used to be like one of my favorite things to do when I was at Mercer was at the hotels. You know, I'm kind of a night owl, or at least I was back then. And like the student managers would go and do the laundry, right, at the hotels. And I would just go down there and kick it with them. Like I would sit down, you know, talk whatever, show them funny videos. We'd record each other. So,
hey,
the student managers are real awesome people. We got a bunch that follow us.
Hey, since you know about Mercer. So, you know how when you go in the laundry room at Mercer, you know, right by the exit door at the UC, right? Yeah. And they have those big wheelie turny thing with a bunch of gear in them.
Yeah.
I would used to go in there, make buddy with our equipment guy, whatever, whoever was doing it, our grad assistant, whoever. And I would just kind of roll those things open and start peeking in there, see if there's anything good. I acquired a couple of cool t-shirts over the year.
Well, you know that, and I'm guilty of this. I stole a throwback jersey from Mercer like 5 years ago.
How can you resist?
I still have it too.
How can you resist looking at that and be like, dude, I want that. It's right there. They have plenty more. Let me get one.
Yeah, like under the basketball bleachers is where they kept all of the jerseys from like the 80s, the 90s. Dude, they're just piled up like ink piles out there. And so, you know, you sneak in right after you, it was the day after I graduated, snuck in. I only took one and I still have it. It's in my room. But it's an awesome Bears white jersey with the piping and everything. And it just makes me laugh because I know every single other like college baseball program has these like piles of jerseys that they don't know what to do with. Like they're holding on to them in case they want to like possibly sell them or give them away to
or bring them back.
But dude, I'm telling you, I wear this jersey sometimes. Like I put it on and the material is an inch thick. It's like made out of like wool. Like I don't know how old time baseball players played the game in 90 degrees. Like it's the hottest, thickest jersey I've ever felt.
Well, most of them are coked out or ripping things and stuff. They probably couldn't even feel it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, they didn't sweat back in the 50s, 60s, that's and 70s. But we got a little bit off topic there. Let's do a little conference rundown. I'm going to share my screen, go up to old reliable Warren Nolan. As you see here, I'm on the RPI. But we're going to go to conferences, and we're going to go to ACC, and we're just going to do a quick rundown, view all conference standings. Obviously, Clemson and Virginia Tech, North Carolina too, have looked really good in conference play. Virginia Tech probably hasn't had the strongest of schedules, but you look at this conference, right? It's similar to the Sun Belt. It's similar to the Big 12, SEC. It's all kind of jumbled up in the middle. Florida State, Wake Forest, Louisville, not so much, but Miami, Georgia Tech, Duke, Virginia, like these schools still have a chance to win the ACC, but the records aren't quite showing it. So, initial thoughts here. Like, how many teams do you think we're going to end up getting in a regional from this conference?
Nine.
So you're saying Clemson, North Carolina State, Florida State, Wake. That's four from the Atlantic. Virginia Tech, North Carolina, Virginia, Miami, Duke. So no Georgia Tech.
So if Georgia Tech gets in, I think a team like NC State might miss out. If something like that, I think it's going to be nine.
Nine? I think it's going to be probably eight or nine. Depending on, I mean, like one of these teams, like a Miami could fall out, a NC State could fall out. But like, ultimately, look at the RPIs over here. NC State's at 45. That's kind of like that bubble watch at the end of the year. Miami 58, Georgia Tech 58 or 55. They're probably not making it.
You know, NC State at 45 RPI is not a bubble. That is an out. Only NC State would miss the tournament.
Well, it depends on I mean, it does depend on how many bit stealers there are.
Dude, you're missing my joke. You're missing my joke.
Oh, why? What's your joke?
NC State getting hosed by the committee.
It's an NC State joke. Yes, they do get hosed by the NCAA every single year. American East, it's a one big league, guys.
One big.
I still think a team like Maine or Binghamton is going to end up winning it, but UMBC is 3-0 right now. Bryant 2-1. This is also a jumbled up mess. Look at Albany, 1-1 in conference, 1-15 overall. So things are getting weird.
Not a single quad one win in that conference.
Yeah. And I don't expect there to be any, by the end of the year either, but whoever wins the conference tournament, that's what we call a one bid league. No at larges. The American has a chance for one, maybe two at larges. It depends on Wichita State and FAU, I think, but right now, everybody's either 2-1 or 1-2. No sweeps last week, first week of conference play. East Carolina definitely has the highest RPI by a lot. But Wichita State, like, look out for them. I think that they actually have a good team. They lost yesterday 3-0 to, I believe it was Oklahoma. I don't remember exactly. But
yeah, this conference is definitely a one-bid league. Maybe a two.
I think it could be a two.
If East Carolina doesn't win
South Florida, Wichita State, and FAU.
If East Carolina doesn't win the tournament, it'll be a two-bid league.
Right. ASUN, I mean, you have to believe it's a one-bid league. Now, look at Kennesaw State, 35 RPI. Like, can they hold up? They've played a tough non-conference schedule, but as you'll see, as the season goes on, that RPI is going to keep ticking up, even if they're winning games. It's just strength of schedule.
They have one, two, three, four, five RPI games left, 65 or lower, or 65 or higher. So no, their RPI is going to continue to drop.
They have Austin Peay this weekend though, and that's going to be a really fun ball like, can they prove themselves in that conference? Kennesaw State, like, kind of reclaim a little bit of glory that they had probably 4 to 5 years ago. Against, I think, what we've all said, like, Austin Peay, who we think we might be the favorite in that conference.
Yeah, look at them both. They both have 3 quadrant 1 wins right now, which is it.
Did we both pick Jacksonville to win the conference?
I don't remember. No, I switched to Austin Peay.
Okay. I think I had Jacksonville. I can't remember.
You did too.
All right. A-10, I mean, one bid league. Right now, I mean, it's anybody's ball game. They haven't even started conference
play. One bid.
Yeah, and it's one team that's going to win it too.
Right. Big 12, and this is a jumbled up mess. So you get TCU in dead last. If you predicted TCU to be dead last in the Big 12 3 weeks ago, you were labeled a crazy person. There's still enough time for them to get back up in the standings race, but I think winning the Big 12 regular season is out of the question. 5 games back and 12 teams ahead of you. Not good.
But you got to remember,
we
talked about it on Sunday night. Their super soft schedule the next 3 weeks in Big 12 play. They could easily get back to 9-9.
Yeah.
Really?
I think that's a good goal for them. 9-9. But like right now, like Kansas State 5-1, Oklahoma 7-2. West Virginia winning a big series against Oklahoma to make them 4-2. And I don't even think West Virginia is playing their best baseball right now. Definitely a sleeper team there. UCF has the highest RPI at 6. They've played a lot of quadrant one games. They've already played 7, 3-4 there. But, I mean, ultimately, I expect like BYU and Baylor to kind of fall off quite a bit. Cincinnati is up there 3-3 in the standings. I think they're going to fall back quite a bit. Before you know it, like the end of the year race, it's going to be like Oklahoma, Texas, and probably like Kansas State or West Virginia, one of those.
So, what would you say, 3 or 4?
Bits?
Yep.
Ooh. 4 or 5, I'm thinking. No way. 4 to 5.
Okay. Those top three, yes. And then you've got Texas, Oklahoma State, UCF, Texas Tech, TCU, maybe Houston. I think maybe 5. Yeah, you're right.
And this is a conference, though, that like the RPIs are going to hold them. Yeah. Like, everybody seems to have a good RPI. So they're going to help each other out. I think it's a 5-bid league. Texas, it would be hard to give the ACC like 9 and the Big 12 only 5. Because I think the Big 12 is definitely worse as far as talent, but as deep as they are, it's comparable. Big East, surprisingly, Texas, like one of the best leagues. What'd you say, Jack?
I was saying Texas goes to Manhattan this weekend too. So that'll be a big time to see who kind of separates themselves at the top of that pack this weekend as well.
100%. Yeah, that's going to be one fall for sure. I don't know, man. I think the Big East could be a 2-bid league. Call me crazy, but it's not a bad thing. It's definitely been the most surprising league out of any league. Does that make sense?
If either St. John's or Creighton continues to run the table the rest of the year and then someone else wins the conference, there could be a 2-bid league there. They're 31 RPI, but like 2-8 quad one, I don't know how many of those are going to stay quad one when the end of the year comes around. That could drop down to 3 games, 4 games. And they're 12-13. I'm not too excited about them. I think it could be a 2-bid if one of the teams runs the table, does unbelievably well, and then doesn't win the tournament.
Well, look at UConn down here. They've only played 14 quadrant one games. Now they're 3-11, but like they could very well win the conference, and a team like Creighton or St. John's or Xavier could get an at-large bid, like if they play well.
We know.
That's why I'm saying like it could be a 2-bid league here.
But we know UConn. We have to give UConn the benefit of the doubt. They run the Big East.
Yeah, 100%. South, 1-bid league for sure. Like, not much to talk about. Charleston Southern's been a nice story so far. They're playing good ball. Like culture change over there. Huh?
They're 1 game under .500. How are they a good story?
They've played a tough schedule too, though. Like, this is just it's a culture change. Jack can talk more about it. He's a broadcaster there, but I've caught myself watching a lot of Charleston Southern games because of Jack. And I think that they can win a lot of Friday night games with Truitt on the mound. Yeah. And the offense is just much better than we've seen in the past.
Dimitri, I'll tell you why it's a fun story, and other than it being super biased, it's like one of those teams that they have 27 junior college kids. Like, it's a brand new roster. They were predicted to finish second to last, I believe, dead last in a lot of polls. So it's just like you never really know what you have. And Mark McMillan's done a good job bringing in the right pieces. And like Ben mentioned, they got a stud in Evan Trudel pitch professionally on Friday's form.
Yeah. Big Ten is a mess right now. I mean, Iowa's 2-1, but the ugliest 2-1 I've ever seen in conference play. Anyways, this conference, chalk it up. Like, I have no idea what to think anymore. Like, the team I was the most certain about is in dead last, Indiana. Like, I thought Indiana was going to run through this conference. Only half the teams have played, or a little bit over half the teams have even played a conference game. But right now, I would put my money on Nebraska to win it. There was a team preseason, like on 11.7.com, I blogged about the conference futures from FanDuel or whoever it was. And I said, like, Indiana plus 700 has a lot of value, and Nebraska plus 900 has a lot of value to win the Big Ten. And, like, Maryland's got a good team, though. Still not sure on, like, a Rutgers who has had a good team in the past. Maybe Indiana finds their groove and gets the pitching figured out. But what are you guys thinking? Two bids here?
I think three. I think it's going to be – I think Iowa will find a way in at the end of the year. I think Nebraska – and Rutgers, one, they can both get in. And so that could be – I think Iowa, Maryland are your coin flip, and then Rutgers and Nebraska. But we got to remember, Maryland made a late run last year. The last, like, 2 months, they were so scorching hot. And everyone was like, where did Maryland come from? I mean, Indiana.
Maryland?
I mean, Indiana. I'm talking about Indiana.
Isn't it Maryland that has not lost a conference series in, like, 3 years? Was it them?
Yeah. Maryland, I remember they went down to Ole Miss. We're like, let's see if this team is good last year. They didn't look great. And then they ran the table in the Big Ten and hosted a regional.
Yeah. Big West is exciting. I've never been more excited about the Big West. The Irvine's kind of running things right now, and they're 19-3 on the year. The RPI down at 40, but like I still think their schedule was good enough, like a good resume builder. Obviously, I'm still a believer in Santa Barbara. I think Pauley and Northridge are both, like, any weekend you get them, super competitive. Hawaii's much better this year. I mean, the best team with the best resume, like, might be – well, I guess their schedule kind of sucks now. But UC San Diego was one of those teams that we were super high on.
Maybe we're a little too high on them right now. I mean
– yeah, maybe. Now, they're not postseason eligible, which so it's like kind of a good thing that they're not in first place right now, because the Big West doesn't play that conference tournament. So it's like whoever wins the regular season. So it's hard to get that multi-bid league, multi-bid out of this league. You got to basically play a good conference schedule.
Yeah, I think this image right here is a perfect example of how the RPI is so hard for the West Coast team. Mm-hmm. Like, the traveling is already further. You don't have teams in your neighborhood, in your backyard, everywhere you go, like on the East Coast. And these teams have to travel a lot if they want to play good teams. But you can't just continue every Tuesday to drive 6 hours to NorCal or SoCal or wherever, Arizona, whatever. So it's really hard to build a strong resume and slip up. You can't really slip up that much on the West Coast. It's unfortunate. Yeah. Because these teams are good, man. These teams are good, really good.
Yeah, no doubt. We got a bunch of them ranked in the mid-major poll. Speaking of having a bunch of them ranked in the mid-major poll, the Coastal Athletic Conference, we're not going to call it the Colonial anymore. We've learned our lesson. They changed the name. But, like, I'm still a believer in the same four or five teams we talked about since day one. UNCW, Northeastern, Campbell, Charleston. You can throw in a William & Mary that I think, like, all of those teams are going to end up being at the top of the standings. Like, Monmouth, I'm glad they swept whoever it was, Towson, this weekend. Like, they're going to fall back in the standings. Sleeper teams, though, these two right here, North Carolina A&T, 17-7 this year. Really good to see them transition into the CAA and win a series. Dude, that was awesome. Delaware is another team. Like, they already beat one of the top dogs in a series, Campbell, this past weekend on the road. Delaware, they were our team of the week. Home field apparel, 15% off. CWS 24. You guys already know the story. But Delaware has some of the coolest uniforms in the country. I love the old English D, the blue and yellow hats. Like, I like their getup a good bit. But the CAA is kind of Jack's bread and butter. What do you think, Jack? What do you think is going to be the conference standings at the end of the year? And, like, how many bids do you think they'll get?
I think they got two last year. I think it's a three-bid league, in my opinion, especially with Campbell rolling into town. But at the end of the year, I think you'll find UNCW, you'll find Northeastern, obviously. It was those two in the CAA championship a year ago. Keep an eye on Elon. They lost a ton. Grad transfers to Oregon, grad transfers to North Carolina. They still have a lot of young talent. They're going to be okay. They'll find themselves in the middle of the pack, and then you never want to play them because they're so well coached come tourney time. But College of Charleston, Campbell, there's just so – I mean, you're looking at potentially four or five first-rounders in just this conference. That's why I think it's a three-bid league. There's dogs everywhere. But to your point, A&T and Delaware are like teams that you're like, wait a second, like we didn't really kind of give a shit about you before the season started. And all of a sudden, like they can bang with the best. Delaware's got a kid named Joey Loind, who's a first-teamer last year. So, man, there's just a lot of star power in this league. So, to me, it's a three-bid league. I think you're going to really have to bust your tail a little bit, and Campbell's going to have to get back on track. But, to me, it's a three-bid league.
Yeah. All right, let's do two more conferences, and then we're going to go to the weekend series pick'em. Jack's going to head out in about 15 minutes-ish and to do another – he's going to really big interviews for boxing, right? You're going to do some boxing broadcasts. In Charleston. So he's got to head out in about 15 minutes. So we'll do the weekend series pick him, and then we'll come back. Me and Dimitri will finish up the last bit of the conferences. But the Conference USA, like, all reliable, like nothing flashy except for maybe Dallas Baptist, but just some really solid teams. Like DBU, they win 2 out of 3 on the road against Sam Houston. I think DBU and Sam Houston are the two best teams in the conference, followed up by the Louisiana Techs and Liberty's FIU. But what do you guys think? I mean, we're looking at maybe a two-bid league.
Two-bid if Dallas Baptist slips up in the tournament.
Yeah. Like, the conference tournament is going to be so important. Because, like, even teams like Jacksonville State, Middle Tennessee State, Western Kentucky, like, all really good programs. Like, they've played tough non-conference. But I'm with you. One-bid league, unless Dallas Baptist slips up in the conference tournament, then you'll see a second.
Wait, hold, go back up. Go back up real quick. Isn't it so – this conference is so weird to me. So weird to me. You've got a team from Miami. You've got a team from Louisiana. And you've got a team from Virginia. And then you've – like, Mexico, it's just a weird – it's so weird. Texas, New Mexico, Tennessee, Alabama. It's like one team from each state of the Sun Belt.
Yeah. It's a conference of misfits, that's for sure. But yeah, it's fun to keep up with. I like it. Horizon League always just runs through Wright State. Like Northern Kentucky, though, like they only have 2 wins against Missouri, and Purdue Fort Wayne has a win against Missouri and Indiana. So much better conference here than traditional. But like, this is Wright State's conference. They win it every year. I imagine it's a one bid league. Doesn't matter who wins the conference tournament, though. Same with the Ivy League. Whoever wins the Ivy League tournament is going to get in one bid league there. Right now, I like Penn. Like, I think Penn's the best team. Columbia is good, and that's about it. Like,
yep.
Same with the MAAC one bid league. It's kind of a toss up. Like, some teams have started, some haven't. We'll figure it out. Mac, shout out to Bowling Green, 9-0 in conference play. Big time there. But I think at the end of the day, you're going to see a Kent State or a I guess Central Michigan and Ball State, two teams that have usually won it. They're down there 3-6 and 2-7 in conference standings. So maybe you see Bowling Green's either. Be fun school. But let's stop sharing. We'll stop there at the Mac. And let's do a little weekend series pick 'em. Let's share my screen there. And I got it pulled up. Boom. Here we go. 6 series. Going to pick the winner, best 2 out of 3. Let's give a little shout out here to the top of the leaderboard. C. Latham 44 is 26-12 this year. Like, unbelievable. T. Tiffany slips from that first place spot. They're in second. They're tied with Nick Lavergetta. High Heat 34. Smiles 117. Q Millie over there at the Baseball Insiders. Good gambling follow for all the gambling people. 25-13. Cola B Ball also 25-13. Jack falls off of the I just saw who's in 10th place. But Jack, you do fall off the leaderboard for right now. You're holding it down for the squad. I love the 10th place person. Fade Ben 22. That's the way to go about things right there. Smartest guy in the world, in the land. 24 and 14. Does that mean I'm 14 and 22? No way. I think I'm around 500.
I think you're right at 500. Yeah. Click on the thing.
All I know is I finally track into the leaderboard and I go 1 and 5. Just lay a fucking egg.
Let me log back in. All right, here we go. View all entries. Let's see where I'm at.
Go all the way to the bottom.
Here we go. Ben Upton. Oh, wait. It all the way at the bottom.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go.
Nice.
Where am I at? 19 and 19. Right at 500. Anyways, let's go back. Let's make our picks. Let's talk a little weekend series pick 'em so Jack can head out of here in about 10 minutes. We always start at the bottom, Dimitri, and you're going to ask why again. I'm going to tell you because the most exciting series is up here at the top. So we just cut out about 2 minutes of Dimitri asking a question there. We're going to start here. UTSA at Tulane, both 2-1 in the American Athletic Conference. They both moved up to the American. Fun conference there. UTSA comes off a series win against East Carolina at home. Big series win for the Roadrunners. Good team. They were great last year, trying to find their identity this year. Tulane, we saw them. 19 and 39, making a regional last year, winning the American Conference tournament. Huh?
19 and 41.
Yeah, 19 and 41, and making a regional, which is nuts. I saw this Tulane team play last weekend. I was big on Rice. They win the series at Rice. I was wrong. Now they're back at home. I'm gonna go ahead and take Tulane here. I think the home field advantage plays a big part of it. But I'm still not a believer in UTSA. I think their bullpen is very, very up and down. Not even up and down, mostly down. Like, the bullpen cannot be trusted. Offense has looked good the last few weeks. And I think maybe they're still running high on a home series win. Now they get to go on the road to New Orleans. I'm going to take Tulane here. Just gut
instinct. Give me Tulane. I'm not thinking twice about it. I think they have a pretty good team this year.
Pretty good team. Unbelievable uniforms or costumes, as I like to call them. They might have the best costumes in the country at the mid-major level. Carter Benbrooks, a southpaw for them, I really like. Jackson Lynn, big righty bat in the middle of their lineup. Tough loss to Southern Miss last night, but I'll take Tulane too. Clean sweep across the board. Congratulations, UTSA.
Congratulations to UTSA. Yeah. Won the weekend. Every time we pick the same teams, it always fails. Speaking of always picking the same team and always failing, Troy. We picked them last week against South Alabama, as did a lot of people. And Troy lost the series at home to South Alabama. Now they're on the road at Southern Miss. Look, I'm not going to overthink this, boys. Southern Miss, I've been riding and dying on all year, like just winning weekend series. Give me the Golden Eagles at home, at the Pete. They typically win these series. Like, 9 out of every 10, it feels like they win the weekend series at home. So give me the Golden Eagles.
If this series was in Troy, Alabama, I would give them serious weight. I would probably take the Trojans to win this series. But I can't do it. I can't make myself pick Troy knowing this series in Baseburg. Like, and I don't understand why we kept doing it. You can't pick against Southern Miss in Hattiesburg. You just can't do it. It's just self-sabotage, terrible idea. I like Troy. I think they can win the series. I really do. But I just can't. I can't make myself do it with Southern Miss at home. I can't do it. So give me the Eagle.
Here's the deal. I like Troy, but I love these Golden Eagles fan base. I've grown to love them. They've accepted me into their corner. I've learned a lot about Hattiesburg and how much they love this baseball team. With that being said, I'm easily persuaded, boys. It's all about the Trojans. They get another walk-off swing last night. This kid Tremaine, go give him a follow. 3 Lando. He hits another walk-off. It's his third walk-off of the season for Troy this year. He doesn't have a ton of homers, but they all come in the walk-off variety. He's got some of the best Instagram captions I've ever seen. I don't know if he's just pulling straight from rap catalogs, but give me the Trojans. It's a no-doubter. The Fighting Skylar Meads get a big-time series.
Love that. Thank you for not picking Southern Miss. Because if Troy and UTSA would have both won with us sweeping the board there, it would have been a bad look for the boys. Jack, I'm going to let you lead off here. Louisiana at Texas State. These are two teams that I think you follow quite a bit and you like. What are your thoughts here?
Nat Deggs, I feel like the Raging Cajuns are always in this spot every year. Kind of when we talk about Virginia and the ACC, it's like the Raging Cajuns are going to be fine. Like, you're going to figure it out. I think Dimitri made – they've only lost twice since the big meltdown in the dugout in Houston. They've responded in a huge way. Kyle DeBarge is a dog at shortstop. But it's tough. You're Texas guy, Ben. It's tough to play at Slam Marcos. And for that reason alone, give me the Bobcats. They're going to pack that thing out this weekend. I think the Raging Cajuns probably have a little bit more talent, but I think Texas State's a little bit deeper offensively. I'm still a couple questions in the back end, but I like Texas State this weekend.
Dimitri, what you got?
I think this is my hardest pick. I like Texas State at home. I do like Louisiana. I think they're playing much better baseball, but oh my God, dude, this is hard. Why is this so hard?
I do think that this is going to be the best weekend of baseball. I mean, like, the most competitive.
Give me Slam Marcos. Give me the Bobcats from Texas State. I'm going to stick with them at home.
All right. Well, I'm glad you did that. Look, I think Texas State at home is as dangerous as it comes. Like, as far as a mid-major level, like, Slam Marcos is a real thing. These guys take it up a notch when they're playing in San Marcos. It just feels like every week you get three or four homers per game from these guys at home. But what I know about college baseball is two things. Like, when you're hot, you're hot. And like, when things are breaking your way, they tend to break your way for a long time. The Louisiana Raging hot right now. I think they've won, 12 or 10 of their last 12 and 9 of their last 10. Like, these guys are winning games, and they're winning them pretty, like, convincingly. Pitching is going to win in this ballpark. Louisiana, Matt Deggs, like, they're going to find a way to hit some doubles in the gap, hit and run. They're going to do things that kind of is lost in college baseball. I love this spot for the Louisiana Raging Cajuns. I think they're going to slam the door with their pitching staff and win enough games, or win the games the old-fashioned way. Like, safety squeezes first and third, things that they love to do. And like, I just like the Raging Cajuns a lot. I was hoping both of you would pick Texas State too. That's kind of why I led off with Jack then.
Wait, so, Jack, who did you go with?
I took Texas State. Here's the name that everyone needs to remember too. I interviewed him back in Houston, but he's putting up crazy numbers. Rashawn Galloway, who uses gardening gloves, which just feels like if they can get to a regional, that'll be like the blow-up story and everyone will love it. He's been doing it since he was like 15. That's going to be the name to remember. He's going to have a big weekend. Give me the Bobcats. Come on.
All right, now we go to the West Coast. The best series of the weekend, in my opinion, because you'll see the ESPN Plus 11:59 p.m. start time out in Hawaii. Hosting the biggest series they've had. I know they've already hosted NC State, and like, I know Hawaii has already hosted who was the other team?
Ole Miss
out there. But this UC Irvine team is probably the best team that they're gonna have out there. Fundamentally, like, as sound as they come. Pitching, defense, the offense is so much better this year than it was last year. And you know, they're 19-3, 22 games into the season. Ranked number 2 in our mid-major poll. If it wasn't for Dallas Baptist, like, unbelievable start to the year, they would be the unanimous number 1. But with all that said, I am still rooting for a Hawaii regional. I don't know if there's a path anymore, but if there is one, you sweep UC Irvine, like, the path is there. So I'm going to go with the Hawaii Warriors to win the series. This is a prime slip-up spot for a team 19-3. Go out to Hawaii. You think it's a little vacation, spring break. Give me Hawaii. Shock the world.
Not overthinking the great broadcast to show the world how good Irvine is. Give me the Anteater. Easy go.
You can't. No doubt about it. Nick Pinto, he's the reigning Big West pitcher of the week. I think he went 8 innings of no-run baseball. I think he only gave up like 2 hits, 3 hits maybe. he's got like the most lefty West Coast swag you'll ever see. Like he's just like such, he's got the sweet mustache. He's got the high stirrups. He embodies like what they bring to the table. I'm not overthinking it either. I'm going with the Riz God. I'm going with the Eaters. Give me UC Irvine.
You guys messed up. This is part of the script. Like when a team is 19-3, 5-1 in conference, and they go out to Hawaii, they lose it.
Nope.
They're going to lose the series.
Nope.
Next series we have here, Virginia at Duke. All right. So I know where everybody's head's at. Like Duke loses 2 out of 3 on the road to NC State. Guys, they should have won that series. Like they should have absolutely won that series. A 7-run meltdown in the ninth. This is a big spot for Duke to bounce back and win the series at home. Virginia, their bullpen still gives up a ton of runs. I know Virginia's scoring a ton of runs, but like Duke's going to get right this weekend. Santucci didn't have his best stuff last weekend on Friday at NC State. He's a big leaguer. Like he's going to figure it out. He'll probably go 7 innings, 2 hits, shutout ball on Friday, or I guess on Thursday, tomorrow. Give me the Blue Devils. I still think that they, I still think they're top 2 team in the ACC.
This series scream take Virginia here. And I'll tell you why. When you're cold, you're cold. When you're struggling, you're struggling. It takes something crazy to break out of that slump. Virginia going into Duke. By the way, Duke had literally zero home field advantage. Like watching a game in that field doesn't give me any like, oh, we're at Duke. I just don't get that vibe. Someone might agree, some might disagree. Give me Virginia here. I think Duke is going to continue to struggle a little bit. They started hot. They're in their cold phase. They're going to get out of it a little bit later on down the road. Give me Virginia.
Well, I'm going to hit you with a Lee Corso coin special. Hey, not so fast, but I'm not going to be making a pick here. Not so fast because I need to make sure that you actually watch the broadcast because your boy is going to be on this broadcast this weekend. I will be making no pick here. I'll just tell you what my homework has told me as I get ready to jump in the car tomorrow for Duke. Ben Miller is as good as advertised at that corner spot. I'm really excited to see him. Duke 1-9 offensively is crazy as hell. But here's the big piece. Alex Stone woke up. Alex Stone woke up in a huge way yesterday. He was hitting just 260. He's arguably their most veteran backbone kind of culture guy in that lineup, and he's starting to get going. So if he's a key piece behind the plate for Duke, Ben Miller, Logan Bravo will keep doing their thing at the middle infield spot. And Zach Morris up the middle infield, a VMI transfer, a mid-major guy like ourselves, has been really good for Duke. With that being said, Virginia is 20-4. Like, is that not the most Virginia thing ever? It feels like nobody's talking about them, and they've just dominated from start to finish. Ethan Anderson is as good as advertised. I think that this matchup, like, it's just going to be really good baseball. I'm biased because I do think it's the best matchup in the country this week, but it's just going to be a lot of fun. To your point, Virginia coming in really hot, Duke struggling a little bit, but it felt like a big win against Campbell, a big win to kind of get momentum back on their side. And we're not even saying they're struggling if they don't have that big blow up inning against NC State. So I think it's going to be really fun to see, try to see Duke get back on track a little bit and Virginia, who's just a staple in the blue blood level in college baseball, kind of bring their stuff down to Durham.
All right. 2 things here. Jack, I apologize. I forgot that you were broadcasting this weekend. So you do need to make a pick on a different series. We're going to give you a bonus series.
Here. No. Just let him make a pick in private. You let him click it. Nobody knows who he picked.
No. Because I want this to be like a Kirk Herbstreit. Like, hey,
I did. On the screen. I'm not making
a pick. Yeah. I'm going to give you a bonus series here. And you're going to have to pick between Texas Tech at UCF. That was kind of my next series that we were going to add in here. So who do you got? Texas Tech at UCF. And this will count towards the standings.
I go simply here. I'm with the Riz God. Let me ride with you, UCF. I think it's a big statement win for them this week.
All right, so you're going UCF with your bonus series to take the place of Virginia Duke. Boom. Love that. And then I know you got to leave here, Jack. So last but not least, LSU at Arkansas. Who are you picking here? This is a big-time series, even though LSU has lost the first 2 SEC series.
I think that outside of Chase Burns, this could probably be the most exciting pitching matchup we see in a conference weekend. Holman, Hagen, Smith. I don't want to say it feels like a must-win series for LSU, but it's one to get that fan base off their back a little bit. Hagan Smith, a.k.a. Randy Johnson, probably wins that Thursday night matchup. I think LSU wins. I know I keep going back to the well here, but I do think that LSU probably drops tomorrow night, but then they come back and win Friday, Saturday. Give me the Tigers.
Love it. Give me the Hawks. Give me Arkansas. I mean, at home at Bum Walker, no doubt about it. Hagan Smith gets them to win Friday night. LSU struggles Saturday and Sunday. Give me Arkansas.
Awesome. Jack, appreciate you for hopping on. Good luck with the boxing interviews. I don't want you here when I make this pick, so go ahead and hop off now and make a run to your interviews. Pencil talk.
Is he going to roast me? Hey, much love. 11.7 Nation. We ride.
See ya.
Much love.
All right, so here's my thought process here. LSU at Arkansas. The whole world, I mean, everybody has seen LSU kind of fold the last two weekends. Cannot win on Sundays. That goes back to the Xavier series. Arkansas's pitching staff has been the best in the country. No questions asked. If I'm LSU, and I don't know what their starting rotation is this weekend, but if I'm LSU, you got to keep Holman on Friday, because pound for pound, I don't think anybody's going to beat Hagan Smith on Thursday. He gets an advantage too, because Arkansas played Thursday, Friday, Saturday last week. And no, and Hagan Smith is on full rest coming in on Thursday. Like, why not start, you know, start somebody on Thursday that you're not counting on a win? Like, sure, if he pitches well, you know, you get a win. But if you go Holman on Friday, Gage Jump on Saturday, that's your best chance to win the series on the road. Although, like, Molina and Tigert have been unhittable this year too. Like, maybe you win on, like, you know what I'm saying? You got to be strategic if you're LSU. This is not the same team that had Paul Skeens going every Thursday or Friday last year. You don't have a Dylan Cruz there. You got to be more creative. I'm going to LSU. I think Jay Johnson is creative enough to get this done. And I could be wrong. I have not seen the pitching rotation this weekend. But I think you keep Holman on Friday and try to win that game and go Gage Jump on Saturday. Piece it together. Similar to what Arkansas did last year to this LSU team. Remember Arkansas last year on Friday pitched, I believe it was Hagan Smith and the other lefty that I'm blanking on his name, against Paul Skeens, and they almost won it. I think it went into extra innings.
What are you doing with Thatcher Hurd?
Dude, Thatcher Hurd's been so bad the last couple.
Do you just put him in the bullpen this weekend?
Yeah, throw him in the bullpen. If Gage Jump or if Holman don't have the best stuff, throw Thatcher Hurd in there. So I'm not worried about Thatcher Hurd right now. I'm worried about winning a series, and Thatcher Hurd has not won a game in the last 3 weeks. So let's get maybe a new face in there. I'm taking LSU though. I think I'm going to be the guy that, you look at the script. Everybody, it's the same thing with the Florida State a couple weeks ago. It's the same thing with Texas A&M a couple weeks ago. Going on the road is hard in winning a series in the SEC. And I'm the biggest Arkansas believer out there. I picked them to win the national championship preseason. I still think they're the number one team in the nation. But, like, let's take a step back. This LSU team is still good. We're still waiting on that breakout series weekend from Tommy White and those guys.
You know what's crazy? Christian Little came to LSU. He was supposed to be a pride transfer. He's been disappointing. Thatcher Hurd, he won him a national championship. He is forever protected from too much criticism. That guy single-handedly won them that game three to win that national championship last year. So, whatever. I'm not going to criticize them, but they've been very underwhelming, those two guys. Because imagine if Christian Little was playing up to his potential. This team would be unstoppable.
Yeah, right. And so you just never know. Like, Thatcher Hurd came out of pretty much – he didn't come out of nowhere last year, but he came in at the right spot. Like, people step up in these situations. So I ended up picking, I think, three Louisiana schools. And I think I took also Southern Miss, which is like right there on the border of Louisiana. This just feels like a weekend where LSU comes in and is like, all right, we're not going to be 3-6 to start SEC play. Like, we're not going to be 2-7. Like, we're going to get back close to 500. We're going to win 2 out of 3, move in the right direction, because although this team is not as good as last year's team, still superstars all over the field. So if there is a weekend where Arkansas might slip up, it could be this weekend.
I could see Arkansas going undefeated in SEC play again. And not, I'm not talking about games. I'm talking about just series. They're that good.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you get Tigert and Mason Molina going Saturday, Sunday. They would be Friday guys pretty much everywhere else.
Nobody talks about Brady Tigert. That guy is so good, too.
That's what I said. Tigert and Molina, they're nasty.
Unbelievable. And, I mean, 15. Oh, my God. Could you imagine 2021 lineup with 2022 or 2024 pitching staff? This team winning 50 games in the regular season.
Yeah, they still might do it. They still might win 50. But yeah, let's wrap up the show here. We had the Missouri Valley on down the last half.
Where of
the
with Ivy? We ended Ivy.
No, we ended on we talked about Bowling Green and Mount. So we're at Missouri Valley. We'll wrap up the show from there. And so Missouri Valley, look, I still believe in teams like Indiana State, Missouri State, Evansville. Missouri State and Evansville have looked pretty bad recently. Like, Evansville pretty much has to win the conference tournament to get into the field of 64. The surprise team, I haven't seen much buzz about them, but Murray State, 3-0, they're 37th in the RPI, 7 straight wins. Like, the Murray State Racers are as hot as they come right now. This is going to be a fun conference to keep up with, though. Everybody knows about Indiana State and what they did last year. Southern Illinois has always been on our radar since we started 11.7. Like, they've had some really good teams. They're back in the mix. What do you think? 2 bid league at the most?
One, unless Indiana State loses the tournament, then 2.
Well, I mean, dude, Murray State could easily.
Yeah, but that RPI could be, that RPI will end up in the 60s by the end of the year.
Well, let's take a look at Murray State just real fast. Let's look at their schedule. I mean, I know they got swept by Arkansas. Let's see. They got Belmont, Southern. This series is going to be the big one, April 5th through the 7th, against Indiana State at home. They got Ole Miss, Southern Illinois. Yeah, I mean, you're right. Their RPI is going to drop a good bit. So one bid, unless Indiana State slips up, possibly 2 bids. Mountain West. Look at this.
Hey,
real quick. 6-3, 6-3, 6-3, 3-6, 4-8, 2-7.
Go back up real quick to the Missouri Valley. Look at the quad one record.
Yeah, Indiana State's 5-3. Everybody else.
And the rest of the conference is 2.
Yeah, pretty bad. Mountain West, 1 bid league. I mean, look at these RPIs. Air Force is the only one under 100. It's a toss up. Like, competitive conference, small conference. I still think, like,
we were wrong about San Jose State, huh?
Yeah. Northeastern, this is just definition of 1 bid league. Whoever wins the conference tournament, regular season's nice for seeding, but you're looking at a bunch of 250 plus RPIs. Wagner 8-1 in conference play, though, after starting, I think, 1-13 ish.
Yeah,
Jack's Long Island Ducks are looking good, 6-3. But yeah, 1 bid league. Same thing with the OVC.
1 bid.
You're not getting 2 bids. Whoever wins the conference tournament, plain and simple. Regular season to figure out what your lineup's looking like.
These conferences have the best tournament because everybody knows season is over. If you don't win that tournament, season's over. This is so much fun to watch.
Hands down, the best. Like, these mid-major conference tournaments are awesome to watch. Like, you're leaving everything on the line. You'll see pitchers throw 18 innings in a 3-day span. Like, it's just, you go, go, go. Pac-12 is interesting. So, not a 1 bid league. Everybody assumes Oregon State's going to win the conference. They're going to be a national seed. From then on, it's kind of a toss-up. Utah's kind of been that unexpected team to rise up in the rankings, 26 in the RPI. I mean, Utah swept Cal, didn't they?
No, they won.
When did Utah just sweep?
They won 2 out of 3.
Oh, 2 out of 3. That's what it was. They won a game against Oregon State. Like, Utah's a sneaky good team right now. I want to say this is probably only like a 2 or 3 bid league.
I think
three. And it's sad. three. You're right. They're going to get three in there. But just last season as a conference, sad.
One.
Patriot League, one bid league. It's going to be Army. Every year it's Army. It's going to continue to be Army. So now this is where it gets a little bit interesting. The SEC will figure itself out. Like, the SEC is going to eventually figure itself out. But right now, if the tournament started, you're looking at 10 teams, 11 teams getting in, maybe 12.
So 2, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Maybe 13, depending on how you look at Auburn's 1-5 SEC record.
Yeah, that's the thing. Everybody besides Missouri is like right in the thick of things, not only to get in the tournament, but also host. Right? Like, even you look at like Mississippi State and Auburn, 46 and 38 in the RPI. You go out and win two SEC conference series in a row, like, you're in the hosting picture. It's nuts how much this conference is like jam packed.
It's the gold standard.
Dude, it's just different. Like, look at all these quad one wins, too. Just so many. Arkansas, I mean, 9 or 3.
All right, let's do this. How many host?
5.
Kentucky's hosting. South Carolina, I mean, South Carolina right now, they're hosting. Florida's hosting. Tennessee's hosting. 4. I mean, shit. Vanderbilt. No. Vanderbilt might be in there. Okay. 4, 5, 6. I see 6 hosts right now locked up.
I think when it's all said and done, I think either South Carolina or Tennessee, one of those two. I think you're going to get 3 from the East and 2 or 3 from the West. Like, Arkansas is going to be locked.
They're going to host. You're getting 3 minimum from the West. Ole Miss, Mississippi State, or LSU. One of those 3 schools will end up hosting, in my opinion.
Yeah. I don't know if Texas A&M – I mean, if Texas A&M holds up, they will.
What reason do you have to believe that they wouldn't hold up?
I don't. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's all going to figure itself out. I think 5 to 6, the SEC will have hosting, which means you'll have 2 or 3.
Seven. I think 6 or 7 by the end of the year.
That's a lot, though.
Which 7 is a lot. It's so many.
Well, I mean, we're going to have to. And this weekend is going to be a big tell. Like, what happens this weekend will
shape
what we think.
Yeah. By the way, Samford's winning this conference, dude.
Dude, I don't know, man. UNCG looked really good last week. They have 2 Power 5 wins. Wofford, we already know, but it's a one bid league.
Yeah.
Whoever wins the conference tournament is gonna advance. You're never gonna see. I mean, Wofford was as close as you could be to an at large 2 years ago, and they couldn't get in. So it's a
one bid league. I will hold on forever. This is just a personal note. Us getting an at-large bid at Mercer, I will hold on to forever. Could you not? That is so rare and so hard to do.
The A-Sun, though. That's different. The A-Sun back then was loaded.
I guess. But still, dude, getting an at-large bid, we should have had it twice. We got hosed the next year. We should have had 2 at-large bids. But the fact that we got an at-large bid, I just know that not many people can say that from a mid-major school. So it's pretty cool.
Definitely. Well, I wish we would have gotten that large bid the 2 years I was at Mercer. That'd been nice. Anyways, Southland, let's talk about Lamar here for a second. 19-5. They've played kind of a soft schedule, but they're super dominating soft teams. I know, but it's good to see Lamar up there 19-5, 3-0 in conference. It's a one bid league, though. Like, surefire, you ain't getting an at large out of the Southland in 2024. Just not happening. But this conference tournament is one of my favorites to watch. Like, as a side note, these teams really don't like each other. Like, they're all right there, jam-packed in like a 100-mile radius. It's elite baseball. I love it.
I mean, what is it? Southeast Texas and all of Louisiana, basically?
Yeah. All Louisiana. I mean, Infinite Word is out there in the middle of nowhere in San Antonio. Definitely the furthest. Like, Corpus Christi is pretty far south. But for the most part, like East Texas and Louisiana.
How far is Corpus Christi from Houston? 2 hours?
I've never made that drive. I think 2-ish. Maybe a little bit more.
Is that where you went to the beach growing up?
No, Galveston is kind of Houston's beat.
Galveston, the hurricane town. That's what I remember.
Yeah. Galveston is kind of Houston Beach. Corpus Christi is a nice area. I played JUCO ball down there a couple times. Anyways, Sun Belt. I want to focus on the Sun Belt here for a little bit. I mean, just looking at it, I'm thinking 4-5.
Louisiana.
Like, I think at the end of the year, Louisiana, Southern Miss, Coastal Carolina, lock it up. That's three. I think between Georgia Southern, Texas State, Georgia State, South Alabama, and Madison.
Let's be honest. Georgia State's not going to be there at the end of the year. James Madison's not going to be there at the end of the year. The only team you can really think about with Old Dominion, South Alabama, and Troy and Texas State.
Dude, I'm telling you, James Madison is better than Old Dominion. I think James Madison's better than Georgia State. I mean, yeah. James Madison has three quadrant one wins. They played Arkansas tough.
I think James Madison is better than Georgia State and Old Dominion. I'll agree with that.
Yeah. But, like, App State showed me a lot last week. Like, App State was close to sweeping Coastal Carolina.
Four.
Let's 15 and four. Seven, too. I don't know. I think Troy's in trouble. Like, Troy has to win this series at Southern Miss. They're at 125 RPI. 3-3 in conference.
Click on their schedule. Click on their schedule. Let's see what it looks like. Troy, yeah, they're under. All right. Southern Miss, massive. And then you've got a bunch of cupcakes. Hey, they have 100%, 1,000% have to win that series at App State.
Your schedule gets tough, dude. There ain't no easy weekends.
They have all the opportunity in the world in front of them to be just fine.
Yeah. Yeah, not sweeping at ULM was big. They needed to sweep that. They needed to win South Alabama series. It's going to be tough for the Troy Trojans. A lot of people's preseason favorite for mid-major team of the year. But you're right. They have all the opportunity right in front of them. Like, they have it. They just go win those series. They're going to put themselves in a great position to make the tournament.
Yep.
SWAC, one bid league, 100%. Everybody's in the 200s, 300s of RPI. Summit, same thing. One bid league.
Whoa.
Oral Roberts in last place, though. 1-5.
Oral Roberts. Dude, remember when people got so mad at the Oral Roberts building in their preseason mid-major? We were like, dude, they're not good.
Yeah. They lost everybody from last year's Omaha team.
Oh, my God. Do you realize how crazy it'll be if Oral Roberts doesn't win this conference?
It's going to come down to the tournament. It doesn't matter if they're 9-40. They win the tournament, they're in.
Hold on. I'm going to pull it up on Wikipedia. Let's see if it showed their conference championship. Because I think it's been at least 4 or 5 years. All right. Who won in 2022? Did Omaha win that year?
I don't remember.
All right. One. Oh, my God. Yeah, no. Oral Roberts is only – they've only won 2023, 2021, 2018, 2016 – yeah, so they've only won four times out of the last 7 years.
Still a lot, though.
Yeah, it's a lot. I'm running. Anyway, yeah, one bid league.
West Coast, one bid. Even though, like, San Diego played that non-conference schedule early in the year, that was good.
Unbelievable. So hard.
Yeah, like, they could be that, like, at-large team if they win a bunch of games at the end of the year. Like, they could be an at-large team out of this, but right now, like, Portland is running away with this conference. 42 RPI, 3-0.
Look at the overall record. Dude, the West Coast has fallen off a cliff.
Yeah. And then last but not least, the WAC. Shout out to Stephen F. Austin, my parents' alma mater. They're probably the worst team in college baseball. Look at these scores.
No, they're not. Coffin State, baby.
So let's just look at their losing streak. They have like an 18-game losing streak. Gave up 16, 11, 9, 16, 12, 7, 11, 17, 10, 5, 14, 11, 17, 16, 4, 10, 13, 19, 5, 7, 11.
To get run ruled by Houston Christian is embarrassing.
Yeah. And, dude, they just keep getting run ruled after run ruled after run ruled. So the Stephen F. Austin Lumberjacks – automatic sweep. They're 0-9. They've lost 22 in a row, and they're 3-23. So they won three of their first four. They've lost 22 in a row.
Yo, opening weekend, first four game of the year, we're 3-1. Good work, boys. Let's keep building on it. 22 games later. Well, let's just enjoy the season, guys.
Yeah, I don't know what happened, dude. It's sad. But Grand Canyon's in first place, 7-2. Cal Baptist definitely has the best record, 5-1. Abilene Christian, UT Arlington, Utah Valley, all having pretty good years so far. But one bid league. And this conference tournament's always crazy because they play at high altitude. You get like 25 to 17 games like we saw last year. Sam Houston no longer in this conference, though.
Didn't Utah Valley make it like a pretty good run in the tournament last year?
Yeah, they came in second. I think that they
ran out of steam against
Yeah. They gave up like 22 runs against Sam Houston. But yeah, they have a good team, good program. But anyways, do you have any closing thoughts? I know there's a bunch of good series this weekend that we didn't touch on.
Yeah, there was a lot of baseball, a lot of good baseball this weekend.
Remember, most teams are playing Thursday, Friday, Saturday. There's some that are playing Friday, doubleheader Saturday. But Sunday is Easter. So we probably won't have an episode Sunday night. We'll either record it Saturday night or Monday during the day.
Yeah.
But I hope everybody has a good Easter weekend. Have fun. We'll be
happy Easter to all those,
college baseball. Do what? Happy
Easter to all those to celebrate.
Yeah.
Enjoy your weekend. And be sure to take your Sunday off. Spend it with your family. Some people get lost in the grind of things and want to keep doing things. Take the day off. Don't do anything that you wouldn't want to do. Just my 2 cents.
Yep. That's good. Good. That's a good good statement to have there. Take your Sunday off. Enjoy your Easter. It's good. Good holiday. We got some good sports going on. But if you guys need us, let us know. DM us, text us. We have our number.
See ya.
Love each and every one of you. So see you guys.